Hey everyone, welcome back to the AI Hardware Show, the podcast where we dig into the chips, silicon, and data center tech that's making AI actually happen. I'm Skylar Monroe, your host and resident hardware nerd. Big thanks to today's sponsors, AIEDA, helping businesses integrate AI into their real-world workflows, Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development from AI to SO. And Zen Semiconductor, the AI and Silicon Venture Group behind some seriously cool stuff like their Sierra RISC-V CPUs and Loom AI Fabric. All right, we've got a packed episode today. We're talking alternative chip financing, NVIDIA's new RTX Spark Superchip, Intel teasing a brand new data center GPU, and TSMC posting absolutely mind-blowing revenue numbers. Let's get into it. Okay, first story, and this one is fascinating from a financial angle, not just a hardware angle. A firm called Upper 90 has put together a $400 million lending facility. But here's the twist. Instead of using NVIDIA GPUs as collateral like pretty much everyone else in this space has been doing, they're lending against AI inference chips. Other chips, non-NVIDIA chips. And that is a pretty significant statement about where the market is heading. So let me back up a second and explain what's going on here, because this is actually a really interesting intersection of finance and hardware. Over the last couple of years, we've seen a whole cottage industry emerge around GPU-backed lending. The basic idea is that NVIDIA GPUs, especially H100s and now B200s, hold their value really well. They're in massive demand. So lenders have been treating them almost like hard assets, like real estate or equipment, and lending money against them. Cloud startups and AI companies have been using this to get capital without giving up equity. But Upper 90 is doing something different. They're saying, hey, there are other inference chips out there, chips from companies like Cerebras, Groq, Tenstorrent, or maybe custom silicon from hyperscalers. And those chips also have real value, real deployment demand, and can serve as legitimate collateral. That's a meaningful vote of confidence in the broader AI chip ecosystem beyond just NVIDIA. Think about it this way. If you're a bank and you're willing to lend against a piece of equipment, that tells you something important. You believe that equipment has stable, recoverable value. If the borrower defaults, you can go take those chips and sell them or lease them. Upper 90 lending $400 million against non-NVIDIA inference chips means they believe those chips are liquid enough, valuable enough, and in demand enough to back that kind of capital. And inference is really the key word here. We talk a lot about training chips, the massive GPU clusters used to train frontier models, but inference is where a deployed model actually runs and generates outputs for users. That's the workload that scales with adoption. As more people use AI products, inference demand just keeps climbing. So it makes sense that inference-specific silicon would start to develop the kind of market value that makes lenders comfortable. This also signals something broader about market maturity. When alternative chip vendors start getting recognized by financial institutions as legitimate collateral, not just experimental tech, that's the ecosystem growing up. It means the AI chip market is diversifying beyond one dominant player, at least in the eyes of sophisticated capital allocators, and that's a really healthy sign for competition and innovation in this space. Keep an eye on Upper 90 and similar firms. They're basically placing a $400 million bet that the AI chip world has room for more than one winner. All right, moving on to story two. And this one hits close to home for anyone who loves seeing big ideas crammed into small packages. NVIDIA's RTX Spark, their superchip for AI PCs, is getting closer to launch, and they've just released the first preview developer drivers with native Windows on ARM support. This is a big deal, and I want to explain why. So first, what is RTX Spark? It's NVIDIA's take on a tightly integrated system on a chip design for the edge, think laptops and mini PCs. It combines the Grace CPU architecture, which is NVIDIA's ARM-based CPU, with a Blackwell GPU, all on a single chip connected by high-speed fabric and paired with 128 gigabytes of unified memory, all of that, on one chip in a laptop form factor. Now, if you've been following NVIDIA's Grace Hopper Superchip, that's the big data center chip that combines Grace CPU and Hopper GPU. RTX Spark is kind of like that concept's little sibling, optimized for edge AI rather than the data center. The key insight is the same though, when you put the CPU and GPU on the same die or package and give them shared high bandwidth memory access, you eliminate a ton of latency and bandwidth bottlenecks that you'd normally see when data has to travel between separate chips over PCIe. The 124 AI workloads, one of the biggest limitations for running large language models locally is memory. You need enough to hold the model weights in memory while also processing context. Most current consumer laptops top out at maybe 32 or 64 gigabytes, and that memory is split between CPU and GPU. RTX Spark changes the game there significantly. 128 gigs of unified memory means you could realistically run some surprisingly capable models right on your local device without hitting the cloud at all. Now, the driver news is important for a different reason. Native Windows on ARM support has historically been a bit of a mess. ARM-based Windows PCs have often had to run applications through emulation layers, which kills performance. NVIDIA releasing native Windows on ARM drivers for RTX Spark means developers can start building and optimizing software that runs natively on this architecture. No emulation crutch. That's critical for the AI developer community to actually get the most out of this hardware. The fall launch timeline is meaningful too. We're heading into a period where AI PCs are going to be a real product category, not just a marketing buzzword. And if NVIDIA can deliver on the promise of RTX Spark, local, private, fast AI inference without needing a data center, that's a compelling pitch for enterprises, developers, and honestly, just power users who care about latency and data privacy. I'm really curious to see how the thermal performance holds up in a laptop chassis, because packing that much compute into a thin form factor is always a thermal engineering challenge, but NVIDIA has the resources to make it work. This one is definitely on my watch list for the fall. Story 3, and okay, Intel. Intel is back in the conversation in a real way with something called Crescent Island. This is Intel's teased AI data center GPU, and the headline spec that's grabbing attention is support for up to 480 gigabytes of LPDDR5X memory. Let's unpack that. So Intel has had a complicated journey in the discrete GPU space. Their Arc GPUs for consumers have been a mixed bag, and their Gaudi AI accelerators have been trying to compete in the data center with mixed results against NVIDIA's dominant H100 and B200 lineup. But Crescent Island sounds like Intel is taking a much more aggressive swing. Let's start with that memory spec, 480 gigabytes of LPDDR5X. That is a massive number. For context, NVIDIA's H100 SXM comes with 80 gigabytes of HBM3, and even the newer B200 tops out around 192 gigabytes of HBM3E. Now, LPDDR5X is a different type of memory than HBM. It's lower power, lower cost, but also generally lower bandwidth compared to HBM. So the trade-off Intel is making here is interesting. You get a ton of capacity, but you might sacrifice some raw memory bandwidth. Here's the analogy I like for this. Think of HBM like a super wide highway with very few lanes, but cars moving incredibly fast, high bandwidth, high cost. LPDDR5X is more like a regular highway system. More lanes in total, cars moving at a solid speed, but not quite the same peak throughput per lane. For certain workloads, especially inference with very large models where you need to hold a lot of data in memory, but don't necessarily need to move it all at once at maximum speed, LPDDR5X with massive capacity could actually be a smart design choice. 480 gigabytes is enough to hold some extremely large models entirely in memory. We're talking frontier-scale models without any offloading or quantization tricks. That's genuinely compelling for enterprise inference deployment. If Intel can price this competitively and deliver reasonable throughput numbers, there's a real market for it. The tease language here is important, though. Intel hasn't given us full specs, benchmarks, or pricing yet. And that's where the devil lives with Intel's data center GPU efforts. The Gaudi 3 had decent numbers on paper, but faced challenges in software ecosystem maturity. And frankly, NVIDIA's CUDA moat is still very, very deep. Crescent Island will need not just compelling hardware, but a solid software stack and developer support to actually move the needle. But here's why I'm cautiously optimistic. Intel has the manufacturing relationships, the enterprise sales channels, and the financial resources to make a real push, and the market desperately wants alternatives to NVIDIA. If Crescent Island delivers on even 70 or 80% of what this tease implies, data center operators are going to at least evaluate it seriously. Intel isn't out of the AI hardware race, they're just running a bit behind. Crescent Island could be an important checkpoint. All right, story 4, TSMC. And honestly, every time I talk about TSMC on this show, I feel like I'm talking about the bedrock of the entire AI industry, because that's kind of what they are. TSMC just posted a record $40.2 billion quarter. Let that sink in for a second. $40.2 billion in a single quarter. From one semiconductor foundry? For those newer to the show, TSMC Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company is the company that actually fabricates chips for most of the major players in AI hardware. NVIDIA designs the H100 and B200, but TSMC manufactures them. Apple designs the M-series chips, TSMC makes them. AMD's Instinct GPS, Qualcomm's Snapdragon, Google's TPS, so much of the world's most advanced silicon is physically made at TSMC's fabs. They're the world's most advanced and most important chip manufacturer. A $4.2 billion quarter is not just a big number, it's a signal. TSMC's revenue is essentially a real-time proxy for how much advanced chip demand exists in the world right now. When their numbers go up like this, it means customers, the chip designers, are ordering more wafers, which means they expect to sell more chips, which means the end market demand for AI compute is still absolutely roaring. The article mentions crypto miners should pay attention, which is an interesting note. Back in 2021 and 2022, crypto mining was a huge driver of GPU demand. And when that bubble burst, it created a massive GPU inventory hangover for companies like NVIDIA and AMD. The concern for crypto miners now is that TSMC's capacity is getting increasingly locked up by AI chip orders, meaning if crypto demand surges again, there might not be as much fab capacity available, and prices could stay elevated. The AI boom isn't leaving room at the table the way there might have been a few years ago. And speaking of capacity, Story 5 connects directly to this. TSMC isn't just posting record numbers, they're also doubling down on their Arizona investments and telling investors to expect strong multi-year demand for AI chips. That's not marketing language. That's a company that has visibility into its order book and is making long-term capital commitments based on what they're seeing. The Arizona expansion is geopolitically significant, too. There's been enormous pressure from the U.S. government, from customers, from investors, to build advanced semiconductor manufacturing capacity outside of Taiwan, largely due to concerns about geopolitical risk in the Taiwan Strait. TSMC building out Arizona fabs is a direct response to that, and it takes years and billions of dollars to bring a new fab online. The fact that TSMC is ramping that investment up tells you they're confident the demand will be there to justify it. When TSMC says strong, multi-year demand, they're essentially telling us the AI hardware build-out isn't a short-term bubble. This is structural, sustained investment in compute infrastructure that's going to continue for years. Every hyperscaler, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Meta, is still in aggressive expansion mode. Startups are raising capital specifically to buy or lease compute, and sovereign nations are building national AI infrastructure. All of that flows through TSMC's fabs. Think of TSMC like the steel mill of the digital age. In the Industrial Revolution, if you wanted to build buildings, bridges, ships, you needed steel. Today, if you want to build AI systems, you need advanced silicon, and advanced silicon comes from TSMC. A record quarter and multi-year demand outlook from them is the strongest possible signal that the AI infrastructure wave is nowhere near its peak. For investors, engineers, and anyone building in this space, that's an important data point to carry around. And that's a wrap on today's episode of the AI Hardware Show. We covered a lot of ground: alternative chip financing with Upper 90's $400 million bet, NVIDIA's RTX Spark Superchip getting ready for its fall debut, Intel teasing the Crescent Island data center GPU with that massive 480GB memory spec, and TSMC posting a record-breaking quarter while signaling years of strong AI chip demand ahead. The AI Hardware Show is brought to you by AIEDA, Ago Consulting, and Zen Semiconductor. Seriously, go check them out. Links are in the show notes. If you got something out of today's episode, please subscribe and share it with someone who geeks out on chips and silicon as much as we do. All the sources and details from today's stories are in the show notes. I'm Skylar Monroe. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.